Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Best Pop-Tart flavor. We've got someone in on the YouTube chat. Best Pop-Tart flavor was grape, but they discontinued it. There was a grape flavored.
I don't remember that, but I love grape jelly, so
I want some of that purple delicious stuff.
Mm. That is drink. Tell me that's drink. Yeah.
We got some purple stuff. Honestly, I kind of I don't think I've ventured too much out in some of the newer flavors in the Pop-Tart world. I would say that I'm a big fan of the brown sugar cinnamon. That's a nostalgic one for me. But the cookies and cream. Mm. That's goated. I'm sorry. That's a top five.
Yuck.
Put your money where your mouth is. What the hell's yours?
Cinnamon sugar sounds like you spent a lot of time with your like grandparents over there. Like,
brown sugar and cinnamon.
Oh,
that's a classic.
It's a classic.
That's an OG flavor right there.
Frosted strawberry is the best Pop-Tart flavor. I mean,
that's boring.
It's supposed to be delicious.
That is an OG flavor, though.
Yeah, and there's something weird about eating cookies and cream at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, quite frankly, there's a lot of weird things about eating all of these at 8 in the morning. I don't think Pop-Tarts are
breakfast foods. Like, Pop-Tarts are some of the sweetest. Now that I'm stupid diabetic and stuff, I have to read, like, the back of, you know, everything I buy.
Hey, Pop-Tarts are good to hit your macros, though, bro.
Yeah,
right?
They are? I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
If I have low blood sugar, that's a Pop-Tarts are an amazing.
I think you need to have the unfrosted ones. That's what it is.
Blech. I'll just go ahead and eat regular peanut butter and jelly or something.
If you want to get those extra cows in the morning,
we're good.
I'm looking at some of the other flavors. I mean, blueberry is pretty solid. The wild berry. With the purple and blue
wild
icing.
Wild berry is okay.
S'mores is good stuff.
Which one have I been seeing floating around the GO and Fred Meyer's, the grocery outlet, the Eggo flavored? There's an Eggo flavored Pop-Tart? Yeah. I haven't tried it, but I'm right out on that. There's also
Eggos, though, but come on, man.
The one that has been enticing that I want to try is the Apple Jacks flavored one. I love a bowl.
Why do you want to taste something that doesn't taste like apples?
Well, I mean, Apple Jacks are great.
That was the commercial. Why are you eating something that doesn't taste like apples? Why do they call it Apple Jacks and doesn't taste like apples? Like, you remember those commercials?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Of course not.
I'd be like, shut the F up because they're delicious.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm looking at the list. I mean, we could go one by one by each of these. The frosted chocolate chip, where it's just like basically an unfrosted.
Don't want anything chocolate in the morning except for maybe chocolate
milk. No?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big chocolate guy in the morning. Yeah, I have no fear. I will put chocolate syrup on my pancake.
That's not
like it's sweet, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not a syrup guy.
I know that Joey, my son, his favorite flavor, he loves the frosted cherry. That is his favorite by far.
Gross, Joey.
I hate cherry flavored things. It always takes me back to cherry cough syrup.
Oh, okay.
It's just any cherry flavored thing. I make that connection.
It's pretty
just
disgusting.
Out on it.
I don't know that I had that.
What, cherry cough syrup?
You're lucky enough to be young and to get grape and to get maybe tropical flavors.
They're bubble gum.
Come on now. They were good flavors. The other one is
now that I think about it, I think my parents probably just gave that to us to make us suffer and get a good laugh.
They're like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you're sick. You got to take the cherry cough syrup.
Watch his face.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'm also one of those guys, even like when I was younger, where I was like, nah, I'm going to tough through this. I'm going to be okay. I'll figure it out. I don't want that. I don't want syrup. I don't want anything to like help me feel better.
You were just all au natural, huh?
I still am. Yeah. Like it takes.
I'll take some elderberry.
I got to be. No, see, I'm nothing. I had a teacher, and I can't remember if it was like fourth or fifth grade, but they said like you want to be sick, you want to feel sick for like a couple days before you start taking your medicine, and that helps you actually get healthier faster.
When that viral load is
because
the biggest.
Anytime I've been sick and I take medicine to stop being sick, I feel like I get sicker. You know, and then all of a sudden, a couple days later, it's like, okay, now I'm starting to feel better.
Now I'm okay. See, and like that's where my brain works that same way, where it's like, no, I need to feel sick for 2 days, and then I can take the Dayquil, then I can take the Nyquil, and I'll tough it out for a little bit. So because I had a teacher, thank you, Mr. Kramer, in like fourth or fifth grade, hey, don't take medicine right away. There I never go. Have.
Shout out, Mr. Krames. You know what is going to make me sick is if my beloved Broncos and Bo Nix do not make the playoffs. And that's probably going to happen because after what happened last night, it's one of those that if the Broncos don't win this game and they don't clinch the playoffs now, it's destiny at this point that the Bengals are somehow going to pull this off. The Broncos just needed a win last night in what was an absolute banger of a football game.
Thank you.
I mean, right? You thought that the Bengals were going to win that game multiple times, and the Broncos came right back. It was 10-3 in the second half because no one was scoring in the first half. Great defensive game to start. Broncos tie it. Bengals go up 17-10. You're like, all right, I don't know if the Broncos are going to be Broncos tie at 17-17. Bengals go up 24-17. What does Bo Nix do on fourth down? Just throw up a prayer to, I believe it was Cortland Sutton that came down with the ball in the end zone, and a very controversial touchdown. It looked like he was maybe still trying to get a little bit of possession on it, but they did call it a touchdown. Tie it, send it to overtime. The Bengals are lining up for like a 30-yard field goal in overtime. Shanks it left, off the upright. The Broncos still have a chance. And what was interesting about that game was even if the Broncos tied, then they would have clinched a playoff spot. And there was a point in overtime where all they needed to do was get a first down, and the Bengals had zero timeouts. And if they would have gotten the first down, they could have just ran out the clock and just kneeled it to a overtime tie. Not an overtime victory, an overtime tie to clinch a playoff spot, which I am very intrigued to see if that would have happened because I feel like a lot of teams, coaches, players are like, no, let's go out and win this. We want to win. We don't want to tie. We want to win this game. I think if the Broncos were in this situation where it's like, listen, if we just need to kneel this thing out to clinch a playoff spot, I know we have a game next week. Like, and I know we have a chance to, there's still time on the clock. We can still go down and technically win this game. I think they're taking the knee. I think Sean Payton's like, screw this. If we can make the playoffs, let's get out of here with a tie. And let's knock the Bengals out of the playoffs, and let's take the tie.
That's a tough one because thinking about it, it's like you want the win, right? You want to be definitive in the win. And
yeah,
you're in a position to where you can't like. Well, they could have. If they'd have tied, they would have made the playoffs if they won next.
That was one of the scenarios that if the Broncos tie that game, then the Bengals are eliminated.
There's something about Sean Payton that doesn't say tie to me.
There's something about
I want to go ahead and go for the tie.
Also something about Sean Payton that he's been doing it long enough where I think he would be like, hey, if this means that we can get into the playoffs and we know our season can get extended by going to the playoffs, by just taking a tie, I'm going to take the damn tie.
You would think that, but I don't know. I don't know what he was kind of thinking in that moment.
I'm thinking he was
saying go for the win because if you look at how well the Broncos were playing, especially in the second half, Marvin Mims, number one, let's go ahead and say, like, man, just throw him the damn ball. Wherever he's at, 8 for 8, you know, 3 touchdowns. Yes, throw him the ball as often as possible, you know, because he was doing work for you. You saw, I think yesterday was the first day as a professional, I looked at Bo Nix and said, you got this. No worries, no everything. He's played well at points and everything, but this was the first game I looked at Bo Nix and said, okay, he's got it. He picked it up right there, and now he's officially like an NFL quarterback. They played well. It just, you know, it wasn't enough in the end, like overtime, you know, and they just, you know, the defense couldn't hold up. But overall, like, I'm thinking Sean Payton saw that and said, no, screw that. We're going for the win.
Well,
like, we could tie and everything, but I'm trusting my guys who've been playing some of the best football they've played all year. Yes, let's go for it right now.
Well, and that's what I don't get. Like, don't get me wrong. As an over bettor, I was really appreciative that it went to OT and guaranteed me a win there. But
especially the way that first half went.
Right. No kidding. I'd chalk that up as an L. But what's weird is why didn't they just go for two? You scored with 8 seconds left.
Well, Bo Nix wanted to,
right.
Yeah.
You see on the video, Bo Nix is saying go for two. I think in that moment you do it. Like that's why when like fans get upset with Dan Campbell or they get upset with Dan Lanning, two more aggressive coaches, I have no issue with what they're doing because they're consistently doing it. Like, you can't do the Sirianni where, like, one game you're going to be ultra aggressive.
Right.
And then the next game, super conservative, because then the numbers don't make sense. Like, you need to be playing to the law of big numbers. If you're playing to the probability of, hey, the computer says go for it, then freaking go for it. And in that moment, I feel like you just have an incredible touchdown catch. You can win the game right now when you don't really have the momentum, and then you're going to trust your defense to try and stop the best quarterback, at least this year, this single year in football. Like, he's not going to win the MVP. Allen's going to win it, or Lamar Jackson's going to win it. But the best quarterback, and the only reason the Bengals even have 12% of a shot to make the playoffs, is because of Joe Burrow. It's Why true. Would I let him touch the football? He's literally gone 8 games in a row of 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. No one's gone 7 in the history of the NFL. And you're going to put the ball in that guy's hands at some point in OT, more than likely? There's just no way I would do it. You need to go for it at the end of the game there. You just scored a touchdown. And if you don't win, you don't win. But at least you went out on your sword instead of taking the coward's way out and slowly dying that slow death.
Well, and outside of the fumble in the fourth quarter, the middle part of the fourth quarter, this was, I mean, they went touchdown, fumble, touchdown. Then they went to overtime, punt, missed field goal, which got them into Denver territory all the way to the Denver 15, and then the game-winning touchdown. So Denver was not stopping the offense really that much in the fourth quarter and overtime. So, yeah, I think that you're right. When I saw that Bo wanted to go for two, I was right there with him. I was like, let's do this. Let's put it all in put the game in their hands right now. Settle it. Don't go to overtime. Usually I am of the proponent. I'm like, dude, just kick the extra point and try and win this game in overtime. But the way that that was going offensively for Cincinnati, I mean, I'm surprised that they stopped them in their first possession of overtime. But it was one of those where you aren't really holding back the Cincinnati defense anymore. Your defense is getting tired. They keep going after this Riley Moss guy, your second cornerback, and it started to show itself towards the end of the game. So woulda, coulda, shoulda. I just wish we would have gotten to the situation where the Broncos got that first down in overtime to see if they would have just kneeled out the ball and been like, screw it, we're getting out of here with a tie. We're going to the playoffs, eliminating the Bengals. That would have been fantastic to see the look on Bengals fans' face in the stadium if they're like, oh my God, the Broncos, yeah, they're just kneeling it out. They're just going for the tie. They're not even going, oh my God. And just seeing the look of realization on Bengals fans and players' face that their season is over and they're not going to the playoffs.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think you could look at it a lot of different ways. You know, if you're Sean Payton, you were trying to be conservative and just make sure that you know, can get a win in overtime or whatever. I'm not sure why you didn't go for two at that point. I was really looking forward to seeing Bo Nix seal, you know, a playoff win or a potential playoff win for his team.
I would have been sick too.
Like that would have been awesome.
You know? Seal the game, you seal your playoff chances.
In your rookie year, like, I think there were a lot of people that had a lot to say about Bo Nix being a pro quarterback. And, you know, to do that in your first year, especially after struggling a little bit to start, and especially after all the BS the Broncos have been going through for the past, what, like 4 or 5 years, you know, something like that. Like, it would have been great to see the Oregon guy come in and, you know, kind of right the ship for you. So it sucks that didn't happen, you know, but and they do have a chance to make the playoffs next week or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. The chance is still alive. I mean,
if they win, I think they're in.
Yeah, they just have to win. They just have to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, that's all.
Who will not be paying, who's not going to play Patrick Mahomes next week.
Is Travis Kelce playing?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was. We will find out once we get closer.
It
doesn't matter because somehow the Broncos are going to lose. Somehow the Bengals are going to beat the Steelers. Again, with how that game ended up working out for the Bengals, how they've won 4 in a row to get themselves to this point, it's one of those I'm like, dude, it's going to happen. Yeah. Like, I just have that bad feeling.
Well, let's go,
and I hope that my negative energy does not go out into the energy, go out into the world and make it happen. And as you said, though, let's go, Bo. Though, this is one thing that the Broncos can hang their hat on.
Man.
One thing that Broncos can hang their hat on is that they have their franchise quarterback. That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, you got to know. I mean, after a lot of you know, crap quarterbacks, and even Russell Wilson, who's not a crap quarterback, you know, but
it just did not go well.
It just didn't go well. You know, a lot of that was Sean Payton's fault, but, you know, I digress. But, yeah, good job to the Broncos for at least staging a comeback this year.
So Broncos, Bengals still fighting for that last playoff spot. I believe the Dolphins and Colts still have a chance as well. I don't know what the scenarios
are. I just had it up. I just took it away. So the Bengals have to win. Broncos have to lose. And then the Colts and Miami, they have to lose one game. So they could either lose this week or they could lose next week. But they have to each lose one for the Bengals to get in.
So we could look at it during the breaks, because now I wonder, do the Colts or Dolphins actually have a better chance of making the playoffs versus the Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals have a 12% chance. They need three losses, essentially.
Okay, gotcha. Well, a team that does not have to worry about their playoff future, it is the team down in L.A. with another Oregon quarterback. We get to that next. But first, Will Ortner with a Sports Center update.